Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Hello. This meeting's at dawn. Welcome to number 2 in the Alabama softball top 5 moments of 2025 on the Out of the Box podcast. Greg Robertson, Tom Canterbury. Tom, we're getting down to the nitty gritty.
Yes. Recap the first 3 from 5 through
5. I would love to. If you're new here.
Yes. In case for some reason you missed.
Which I would recommend going back and listening to all of it.
Yes.
You'll hear about my website. Number 5 was the 1st and 7th innings at Florida, game 1. Number 4, the 2nd, 3rd, and 7th innings against Auburn in the SEC tournament. And number 3, from the 2nd game against Oklahoma, the 2nd, 3rd, 5th, and 7th innings.
Yes.
And now we get...
all great times were had.
Yes, indeed. But we get to number 2. The 5th, 6th, and 7th innings of the regional final against the Virginia Tech Hokies. This one appeared frequently. 13 of 15. It was on everyone's list very high. The lowest it was 4th for one person. Everybody else had it like 3rd, 2nd.
Yeah.
And that was it because 1st was unanimous. So... what do you remember about this game?
It was very tense.
Yes, it was.
Because, yes, Alabama had won the first game. So Alabama's in the driver's seat. But as you know, Alabama has had to deal with a couple of times here recently, you want to finish it off.
Yeah.
You don't want to have to come back for that if necessary game.
And we'd been sitting around because of a lightning delay.
Yeah,
but tension was high. And remember how this game started. Audrey Vandegrift hit a triple.
Yes.
To start the game. And we're all sitting around like, sick.
Here we go.
Okay.
This is going to be like Southeastern all over again.
Exactly. There's a reason the first inning is not included in these moments.
A leadoff triple, you say?
Yeah.
So surely Alabama scored that inning.
One would hope, but alas.
Ugh.
That is just not even remotely close to what happened.
No.
But good things happen later.
Sure. 3.5 hour weather delay.
Yeah. We were there for a good bit. And of course, you know, I need to do better. Brief aside here, because that's what we do. Brief.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Asides. I have a game bag. I have a bag of games.
Sure.
That I have stored in my car many times. And for some unknown reason, only the Lord himself understands why I do what I do.
Yeah.
I have taken it out of my car and it's never in the car when we actually need it. That thing sat in the trunk for 2 months. We never had a rain delay.
No.
And then I don't know. I was moving my golf bag. Who's to say? I bring it in, don't take it back. Mm. And then we had multiple weather delays in the latter half of the year where I was unhelpful.
The only saving grace this time was that there was other softball to watch.
Correct.
So we hung in there, but man, there's nothing worse than a weather delay.
Yeah.
It's but just,
nothing better than that feeling once you've won the last game of a weekend in the postseason.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's when, because I think people, and this is one of our off-the-wall main issues that we have,
mm-hmm,
is that people don't appreciate postseason success if it doesn't result in a national championship
effort. Right.
Only 16 teams made it to Super Regionals. That's how it works.
Yes.
Only 16 make it. teams that didn't make it are plentiful, and every single one of them would have traded with Alabama in a second.
100%.
I think because Alabama has had so much success, especially in the regional round, it's kind of taken for granted. And what I hope everyone has figured out is that nothing should be taken for granted in postseason softball anymore.
And I hope all of you enjoy hearing that success, because here we go.
Yes.
Number two, the fifth, sixth, and seventh innings against Virginia Tech in the regional final, right here on the Out of the Box Podcast.
Still 0-0 between Alabama and Virginia Tech as we head to the fifth inning here of the championship game of the Tuscaloosa Regional. With a win today, Alabama advances to Super Regional play in Norman against Oklahoma next weekend. Virginia Tech with a win would force the, if necessary, game winner take all for that opportunity. Due up for the Tide here in the fifth, it'll be Hawkins, Elsett, and Hubbard against Emma Limley back out now for her fifth inning of work. And Gray, the way both these pitchers have been going, we just haven't had the time for a scoreboard update.
Oh my, are other things happening?
So now it is time for that scoreboard update, brought to you by the Out of the Box Podcast. Check out the latest episode of the Out of the Box Podcast, part of the Softball America Podcast Network. Wherever you get your podcasts, give us a follow at outofthebox_pod on X. Like, subscribe, and share. Tickets being punched all over the place to Super Regional play.
Yeah, and Tom, if you missed it earlier, I'm sorry. Look up everything that happened before today. We're just going to talk about regional finals as we proceed.
Salen Hawkins to lead things off. She struck out her first time, and the first pitch to her is fouled away for strike one.
So we start with the number one overall seed, Texas A&M. They had to win two today against Liberty in College Station. Liberty was up 6-0 after two. The score is now Texas A&M 11, Liberty 7, top 7. So an if game closing in College Station. What a comeback by the Aggies.
The 0-1. Hawkins with a ground ball. That's going to get through for a base hit into left field. Both the third baseman Lynch and the shortstop Rose tried to make a diving stop, but it got past him. And Alabama, for the second straight inning, has a leadoff single.
Really quickly, Norman Regional. Oklahoma beat Cal 12-1-5. OU back in Supers. Back to the game here. If I'm Brooke Elstad, look at where Leggett is lined up. Kind of deep over at first. I'm thinking about that drag bunt right here. At least get Hawkins to second base.
Elstad, 0-for-1 with a fly out. First pitch. Puts down that bunt. Oh, it's perfectly placed. There's not going to be a play. Everyone is safe. And Brooke Elstad, a perfectly placed bunt right in front of home plate. Didn't go more than 3 or 4 feet, but it was perfectly placed. And Alabama now with back-to-back singles threatening in the fifth.
Beautiful. That's why you bunt. And it wasn't even a drag bunt. It was actually just kind of checked up right up the middle. But it was perfectly positioned. And now I think it's right back on. I think you have Mighty Hubbard bunt as Pete DeMore comes out to have a word with Limley. So we'll get back to more scores. Florida's off to Supers. They run rolled Mercer 8-0-5. Arkansas, Oklahoma State supposed to play tonight. Hogs need one. They're in a weather delay, and it does not look good in Fayetteville. So we'll see what happens there. Florida State off to Supers after beating Auburn 4-0. Auburn won the first game today, but the Noles are heading to the next round. They will host next week. Texas 9-0 over USF, or UCF, I should say, to go to Super Regionals. Tennessee 5-0 over Ohio State to go to Supers. South Carolina 8-0 over North Florida in 5 to go to Super Regionals. UCLA and Santa Barbara coming up in about an hour. Nebraska 8-0 over Southeastern in 6. Nebraska going to Supers. A lot of shutouts today as I read this. Clemson going to Supers after beating Kentucky 5-1. Texas Tech held off Mississippi State 9-6 to go to Super Regionals. We'll talk matchups later on. Ole Miss, Arizona coming up tonight. Duke and Georgia in the if game. Duke leads it 2-0. Bottom four.
Mighty Hubbard, 0-for-1, steps in. Runners on first and second. Nobody out here in the top of the fifth. First pitch, called strike.
The last one. Oregon needs two wins. Stanford needs one. No score, top one in Eugene between the Ducks and the Cardinal. Tim, we'll keep you up to date on everything else happening, but most everything kind of wrapped.
Yeah.
She out.
Yeah. Man. Mottie didn't get back in the batter's box quick enough. It's an 0-2 count. Mm. And that wipes out any potential bunt there as well.
The 0-2 pitch now. Hubbard pops it up, foul ground. It will get out of play. We'll do it again. No balls and two strikes. Bama doubled their hit total for the game with the first two hits of this inning. Single to left by Salen Hawkins and a bunt single by Brooke Ellestad. The 0-2, Hawkins sends this to center, and that's going to be caught on the line. A well-struck ball. Mm. Peck came up, made the catch for the first out of the inning.
Yeah, Limley goes back inside. Man, tough luck for the kid. Freshman Mottie Hubbard is 0-for in this regional and has had the case of the Adams for about half of those outs.
Yeah. Well, we talked a lot this weekend and this season about the bottom of the order producing for the Crimson Tide. Looking to do it here. Abby Dukeser to the plate, 0-for-1 with a strikeout. First pitch is high for ball one.
This is where Rhodes has to be Rhodes. Patrick Murphy firing up the crowd. Kayla Beaver, Jenna Johnson, a couple of the alums leading the charge over behind the Tide dugout.
The 1-0. Outside, 2-0.
It's a great adjustment. Yeah. That is the exact pitch that Duke struck out on earlier, or I should say swung and missed on to set up the strikeout looking earlier. Held off.
Dukeser fouls it back. Straight back, 2-1.
The reason you hold off on that is to do what Patrick Murphy was saying earlier. Shrink the zone. Make Emma Limley have to bring it a little bit more in. That's when you get the meatballs you can smack.
2-1 pitch. Dukeser, takes a called strike. Somewhere around the inside corner at the knees. 2-2.
Andrew Stovall not loving it.
Now the 2-2. Dukeser holds off again, high and outside. The count's full, 3-2. Now the payoff pitch to Dukeser. High for ball four.
Nice.
Dukeser draws the walk to load the bases with one out here in the fifth inning.
I really wish I could properly convey on radio how difficult that at-bat was for Abby Dukeser, because every pitch she took that was called a ball was pretty tasty. It at least had the movement that made you think maybe this is going to be in the zone, and she held off on every single one. Really, really high quality, high IQ at-bat, full of adjustments from Abby Dukeser.
Now, Kinley Pate will come out to run on first. Pate, who had the game-winning run scored yesterday on the Audrey Vandegrift single in the fourth inning. Now on first, you have Brooke Ellestad on second, Salen Hawkins on third, and Larissa Pruitt at the plate, one out. Bama trying to get on the board first. It's no score. We won out here in the top of the fifth inning. First pitch, fouled away for strike one.
And needless to say, you got to convert here, because this is one of those moments where if you have the bases loaded and you don't get anything, yeah. Corey McMillan's leading off the next inning. You can almost feel that they're going to do something, the Hokie offense in the bottom of the fifth, if you're unable to get something across. Pruitt this year is hitting 400 with the bases loaded.
One of her career home runs is a grand slam. The 0-1 fouled off. No balls and two strikes.
Got to know again. Lefty's getting 62% rise. Probably high and away here.
The 0-2 is outside. One ball, two strikes. One, two. Pruitt with a fly ball shallow left, charging in and making the catch and keeping a tag from happening from third is Martin. Just not quite deep enough to get the tag from Hawkins, and now there's two away.
He needed, what, 5 more yards?
Yeah.
10 more yards? And it was also really well played by Martin. She instantly retreated and then came in. She would have hosed Hawkins right there. Well played by the Hokie defense.
So now two outs, back to the top of the order with Audrey Vandegrift. 1-for-2 on the day with a triple and a strikeout. Bases loaded, two outs. First pitch, high and away, ball one.
500 average this year for Audrey with the bases loaded, including some big ones against some of the best teams you've played in the biggest games you've played in.
The 1-0. Outside, 2-0.
This is going to be the one. I mean, if you're Vandegrift, you're going to get something you can barrel. 2-0. Limley does not want to go down 3-0 right here.
Wow. But she does go down 3-0 as that one's low and away. Entire crowd here at the Rhodes House to their feet. Emily looks in, and the 3-0 pitch to Vandegrift is high for ball four. Audrey Vandegrift draws a four-pitch, bases-loaded walk to give the Crimson Tide the 1-0 lead.
I don't know what happened. None of those pitches were very close, and you could tell Emma Limley no desire whatsoever to get anything in the sweet spot of Vandegrift, but the last couple weren't close. Amazing. She had a triple earlier that kind of did nothing. Four-pitch walk, first run of the game.
Lauren Johnson now to the plate. Bases loaded, two outs. First pitch is in there for a strike. So Hawkins came in to score on Vandegrift's RBI walk, her 33rd run driven in on the year. Bama leads it 1-0 here in the fifth. The 0-1. Johnson fouls it back. No balls, two strikes.
And this is, again, this is another theme of this year. You have done a great job getting a run across in this inning. You've worked really hard. This is where you keep going. You find that extra gear. You get those extra runs.
The 0-2. Johnson with a fly ball, the left fielder fell down, and it's going to fall for a base hit. One run will come in to score. Johnson takes second, two runs are in, and Alabama leads it 3-0.
Drop ball, curve ball, whatever it was low and in. Get that ISO on Jenna Johnson, because she is going nuts in the stands. And sometimes it is a little bit better to be lucky than good, because it's a solid piece of hitting, but it is certainly helped out by the fact that Martin slipped trying to come in. And if that is what had to happen to get those extra runs, you will 100% take it.
Martin fell down. Rose got a lot closer to actually catching it from short than I thought off the bat, too. It was a great effort from Rose, but the ball falls, and Alabama has put up the crooked number here in the fifth inning to take the 3-0 lead.
And guess what? Go for more. Three is awesome. You've worked hard.
Yeah.
You can get even more with a base hit and the speed on the bags right now.
First pitch to Callie Hevlin, high and away for ball one. For Johnson, that's going to be a single. Two RBIs and taking second on the throw.
Now 26 on the season for Lojo, who just keeps coming up big, man.
The 1-0. Called strike 1-1. Now you have Callie Hevlin, who's 0 for 2, but lined into a hard luck double play in the fourth inning. And two more runners in scoring position, a big chance for the Tide's home run leader and senior. The 1-1. Hevlin takes it high, two balls and a strike.
Man, what a much calmer approach for Callie. It's like, it's almost like she was kind of fighting through it, and then that foul ball in her second at bat kind of settled her. And since then, she's been much more secure in what she's going after.
The 2-1. Hevlin, hard hit ball to deep left field. McMillan, though, will range back. Whew. Oh, and almost dropped it, but she was able to stick with it to make the catch for out number 3 to retire the side. But the Crimson Tide puts up a number here in the fifth inning, scoring 3.
Yeah, big time. I mean, the Lauren Johnson story, whenever this season ends, I want to spend a couple minutes talking about that kid, because she has just come up big every time. But it started with some of the production that you got, especially the Abby Dukeshire walk. Without that, I'm not sure Alabama scores in the inning. That might have been the best AB of them all. And now you can protect a lead against the Hokies.
We stretch in Tuscaloosa for the Crimson Tide in the fifth. 3 runs on 3 hits, no errors, 2 left. We head to the bottom of the fifth inning, 3-0 Alabama here on the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield. We've stretched in Tuscaloosa. We move to the bottom of the fifth inning here of this regional championship game of the Tuscaloosa Regional. The Crimson Tide with a 3-0 lead over Virginia Tech, plating 3 runs in the fifth inning. Due up for the Hokies here in the fifth. It is the top of the order. McMillan, Lynch, and Yeager against Caitlin Riley, who threw 4, has thrown 53 pitches, giving up the 5 hits, no ones, 1 walk, and 2 strikeouts. Riley has been outstanding so far here in the ballgame, and now will face this Hokie lineup for the third time, starting with Corey McMillan, who is 0 for 2 on the day with a strikeout and a ground out. Gray, we talked about getting extra runs when given the opportunity. Alabama did that in the fifth, and that's huge considering who's leading off the inning here for Virginia Tech.
Right, she can get a run back quickly.
First pitch is lined to right on the rope, but right to the right fielder, Larissa Pruitt, for a big first out.
I'm telling you, the plan is well, and McMillan makes a great adjustment here. She steps off the plate a little bit. She's hunting for that inside pitch, and she stripes it right at Larissa Pruitt. 3 for 3 so far in strategy. Really, Alabama's strategized perfectly against Virginia Tech in the two matchups.
That brings up Jordan Lynch. First pitch to her. Change up, a little low for ball 1. Lynch 1 for 2 with a ground out and a single.
Hey, we got an out-of-the-box podcast scoreboard update to give you after this pitch from Caitlin Riley, because the drama is not done in College Station.
Oh. The 1-0. Lynch pops it up on the infield behind the second base bag. Saylan Hawkins will make the catch, and there's 2 gone.
Bottom of the 7th, 11-8 Texas A&M over Liberty. But remember, Liberty is the home team. They've got the tying run at the plate with 1 out.
And the number 1 overall seed in the NCAA tournament has never lost their regional.
Hashtag never lost.
Zoe Yeager steps in 0 for 2, with 2 outs. She's 1 for 2 on the day, the first pitch. Drops in for a called strike. Yeager has the only extra base hit for the Hokies, a double in the third.
Let me adjust. It's now 11-9 Texas A&M. Tying run is on base for the top of the order in Savannah Woodard.
The 0-1 is low, 1-1. So Woodard, who hit a home run in the first inning.
And that also means, barring a double play, Rachel Roop, the player of the year in that conference, one of the best players the mid-majors has ever seen, will get an at-bat.
The 1-1. Yeager grounds that one just foul to the left of the third base bag. It had gotten past Elistad. It would have been extra bases for Yeager, but it's foul. 1 ball, 2 strikes.
Back to this game, Tom. This is where you really got to start trying to mix around and through the zone, because this is where Virginia Tech starts to feel the pressure a little bit. You naturally will start to press just a bit, knowing that you're 7 outs away from your season coming to an end.
The 1-2, little outside, 2 balls, 2 strikes. And Alabama now defensively doing the shift, with Callie Hevlin moving over to the third base side of second base. So looking for Jaeger to pull.
So it's got to be inside, right? That last pitch missed high and away.
The 2-2 is right in there for a called strike three. And Caitlin Riley and the Crimson Tide sit down the Hokies in order. They do not respond here in the fifth.
Yeah, this is a beautiful pitch on the inner half from Caitlin Riley. That is a total strike. You're handcuffed if you're Jaeger, but you got to fight that off. Beautiful location. Caitlin Riley, I got to say, I think she's delivered some of her best pitches when the shift has been on. Yeah. Her location has been pinpoint in those situations.
For the Hokies, they go down 1-2-3 here in the fifth inning. We move to the sixth. Alabama 3, Virginia Tech nothing. Here on the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield. Three nothing Alabama as we head to the top of the sixth inning. Due up for the Crimson Tide as the designated visiting team here in the 6-4 Alabama, Giles, Hawkins, and Ellistad, and Emily back out for her sixth inning of work. And before we bring the sixth inning to you, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification here on the Crimson Tide Sports Network. Three runs on five hits, no errors. Three left for the Tide. No runs on five hits, no errors. And six left for the Hokies. Emma Limley, first pitch of the sixth inning, will be her 94th of the game. Alabama finally got to her in the fifth, getting three runs. And now we'll see if the Tide can add to it, starting with Marley Giles, who's 0 for 2 with a strikeout and a flyout. And the first pitch, called strike.
All right, Out of the Box Podcast scoreboard update. Rachel Roop was up. A shot off the glove of the pitcher, Kate Munnerlin, brings in a run. 11-10, Texas A&M. Bottom of the seventh, two outs, runners on the corners.
The 0-1. Outside, one ball, one strike. And remember, A&M is fighting to force another game.
Right, they're trying to play again.
The 1-1 to Giles is popped up. Foul ground, first base side. It's going to stay in play. Catch made by Leggett for out number one.
Yeah, a little bit of a jam job there from Limley. I think Giles was looking elsewhere, and that one just kind of got in on the hands more than she thought.
They'll bring up Salen Hawkins, who got things started last inning with a single. 1-for-2 on the day with a run scored. First pitch, called strike.
It's a great pitch from Emily.
But it seems like I have said that a lot recently. Salen Hawkins got things started for Alabama.
Yeah, it's been a story. Just so steady at the bottom of the order for most of the year and in the middle of the order in the last 3 weeks.
The 0-1, Hawkins with a chopper to third, a leaping grab made by Lynch, and the throw is going to be in time to get Hawkins for out number two. A really good play defensively again by the Virginia Tech third baseman.
Yeah, this is hard stuff. Jordan Lynch is not super tall, 5'6", but she had about a 6 foot, 6'3" maybe reach up there to get Hawkins out at first.
Brooke Ellisad now the batter. 1-for-2, singled and scored in the fifth inning on a beautiful bunt. First pitch is hit well to left, but there to make the catch. Intertracks is Martin for out number three to retire the side, and Alabama goes down in order here in the sixth inning.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. Scoreboard update. Liberty just tied the game with a bases-loaded two-out hit by pitch in the bottom of the seventh. Folks, when you come back, who knows what the final score will be between A&M and Liberty. Wow.
Here it's Alabama 3, Virginia Tech nothing as we head to the bottom of the sixth inning on the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit LGUSA.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
3-0 Crimson Tide as we head to the bottom of the sixth inning. Due up for Virginia Tech here in the sixth, Aldridge, Peck, and Leggett. 4-5-6, taking on Caitlin Riley, who through five innings has given up five hits, no runs, one walk, three strikeouts, and will throw her 62nd pitch of the ball game to start off the sixth inning. A tremendous performance so far by Caitlin Riley, but now we're down to the real gut check time, having this three-run lead with six outs left to go.
Yeah, and now this is where you lean on your teammates, right? I mean, you lean on your sisters. I know Caitlin Riley's only been here for a year, but she's assimilated herself very well. Don't think that you have to do everything. Defense has been great behind you. Utilize them and understand that you don't have to be perfect. You can just live in the moment and utilize the rest of the team around you to get these last six outs.
Tali Aldridge leading things off, 0 for 2 with a couple of flyouts. First pitch, called strike. If she has three strikeouts on the day, does Riley. Two of those were in the first inning, and then the one to end the fifth inning was the first one since. The 0-1. Right in there on the inside corner. No balls and two strikes. The 0-2. Bounces in. One ball, two strikes. Two pitch. Again, bounces in, bounces away from Giles that time. Two balls, two strikes. Now the 2-2. Ground ball up the middle. It's a nice stop on the backhand by Heaven, but she will not have a throw. And that's an infield single for the designated player, Kylie Aldridge.
And the first base hit of a day for Virginia Tech, not with two outs. Good piece of hitting. Drop ball again. This is just a little bit too over the plate, but she was on time. That's why it was right back up the middle. No play from Heaven. Good call.
So a leadoff single will bring up Bree Peck, who's 0 for 1 with a walk and a ground out. We'll have a pinch runner on first for the Hokies as Lila Blackwell will come out to run for Aldridge.
All right, Out of the Box Podcast scoreboard update. Tied at 11, bottom of the seventh, bases loaded, two outs, full count. Texas A&M Liberty. I'll let you know, I promise.
Peck steps in, right-handed hitting, runner on first, nobody out. 3-0 Alabama here in the bottom of the sixth. First pitch. Off-speed a bit high for ball one. One oh. Comes in low, two balls and no strikes.
And keep attacking if you're Caitlin Riley. You've done such a good job painting corners. Oh.
2-0. There's a strike, 2-1.
Extras in College Station, Tom. New pitcher, Sydney Lessantine, coming in to get one out. She got it. They're going to the eighth, tied at 11. Amazingly.
Now 2-1 to Peck. Grounded foul. Chase a drop that time. Two balls, two strikes.
Yeah, and that's a big break for Caitlin Riley because that was pretty similar to the 1-0 that Peck took when she was geared up and just couldn't help herself.
The 2-2 pitch. Peck swings and misses for strike three, I thought.
No,
I
got a piece.
Get a piece. Okay.
Yeah, fouled it off of Marley, actually. And she was out of her shoes. Ooh, right off the thigh of Marley Giles.
Marley appears to be all right. Peck sets back in with another 2-2 count. Pops this one up on the infield. Hawkins is there. She'll make the catch for the first out of the inning. And Riley came in and jammed Peck there and got her to pop it up.
Yeah, absolutely nothing Peck could do, especially considering a pitch similar to that has been called for a strike. This is a little bit more in. It's probably a ball, but you almost can't help yourself. Big, easy, unproductive out right there.
Emily Leggett steps in. First pitch to her is high for ball one. Leggett's 0 for 2, reached on a fielder's choice in the second, had a fly out in the fourth. Sophomore from Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Ooh.
The 1-0. Swung on and missed. One ball, one strike.
I do love Fort Lauderdale.
Sure.
Yeah. It's a great place. Some great restaurants down there. Also, that was a totally bamboozling off-speed pitch, elevated in the zone.
The 1-1. Line to first. Dukeser has it and will tag out the runner at first for the double play. Dukeser has just missed making a couple of diving stops on a couple of base hits from Virginia Tech earlier in the game, but that one was right at her. And then making the smart play, going to tag the runner instead of trying to beat her to the bag at first to get the double play. The tide turns another one and gets out of it here in the sixth.
That's so cool for Abby Dukeser to have that moment. Great positioning, went to a knee to make the catch. Incredible job, and that's one of those plus plays, man. If you want to make it to Supers, you want to make it to the World Series, you want to do more, you better make those plus plays on defense. Alabama's done stuff like that for the last month and a half.
For the Hokies here in the sixth, no runs on a hit, no errors, nobody left. We head to the seventh inning, still 3-0 Alabama, here on the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield. We move to the seventh inning. Alabama with a 3-0 lead over Virginia Tech. Bama is the designated visiting team in this game, so Virginia Tech will have an at-bat in the bottom of the seventh, but Alabama would love to obviously have some insurance more so than they already have before the Hokies get that chance in the bottom of the seventh. Three runs on five hits, no errors. Three left for the Tide. No runs on six hits, no errors, and six left for the Hokies. One change defensively for Virginia Tech. Blackwell stays in the ballgame and will be the new left fielder, moving Martin to the designated player spot, replacing Aldridge. Bottom of the order due up for the Tide. Hubbard, Dukeser, and Pruitt against Emma Limley. Hubbard's 0 for 2, leading things off. First pitch is a called strike on Mahdi.
Would love for Mahdi to finally find a spot, because like the DP question, I don't know if it's necessarily been answered, but it's not because Mahdi hasn't performed. She's just gotten a little unlucky with some of the places where she's hit the ball.
Stats don't always tell the whole story. The 0-1 bounces in, one ball, one strike.
If I may, quick out-of-the-box podcast scoreboard update. Bottom six in Durham, Duke, Georgia. Blue Devils lead at 2-1. Winner goes to Supers. Top two, Oregon leads Stanford 3-2. Still tied at 11 in the eighth, A&M and Liberty.
Jeez. The 1-1, Hubbard swings and misses, one ball, two strikes. The game has been pretty quick, and it's just has not given us many opportunities. Do you even know what the date is?
It's the day the portal opens, but I don't even know if I have time to go on my rant.
The 1-2, Hubbard with a chopper. That's going to be a fair ball down the left field line. Hubbard around first, heading to second. The throw is not going to be in time, and that is going to be a leadoff double for the freshman, Mahdi Hubbard, over the third base bag, and Alabama has an opportunity to get that insurance now here in the seventh.
Kid found a spot, man. I mean, how? I honestly don't know. Like, it bounces in front of Lynch, heading towards foul territory almost, and then it like reverses and then gets fair. It's a fair ball all the way. No issues with that call whatsoever. Just, I mean, talk about all your luck coming right back. That one had eyes all the way down the left field line for Hubbard.
Now Abby Dukeser steps in. 0 for 1 with a walk, and her pinch runner scored. First pitch is a called strike. But great, it's May 18th.
Okay. Real quick, I'll just say this. Why is the portal opening on Championship Sunday and Regionals?
Makes zero sense.
I mean, if we're going to open it before the season's over, let's open it on Monday.
Yeah.
Coaches have games, y'all.
Yeah. Kind of busy right now. The 0-1 outside. One ball, one strike. It's a good day for Alabama as well. May 18th, Alabama 10-1 all time on this date, outscoring opponents 49-22.
Pretty good.
Yeah. The 1-1. Dukeshire with a chopper, and that's going to be fouled down at third baseline. 1-2. Alabama picked up their first ever NCAA tournament win in program history on this date in the year 2000. A 1-0 win over FAU in 9 innings in the Tempe Regional. That was before Super Regionals were a thing.
Yeah. Those were some long weekends.
Imagine y'all. A 6-team regional.
Oy.
No, thank you. The 1-2. Dukeshire swings and misses for strike three. Bama has won 2 regional championships on this date, beating Southern Illinois twice in 2003 and South Alabama in 2014 for those wins. Back in 2019, it was a 7-4 win over Arizona State to advance to that year's regional championship in Tuscaloosa. What a game that was.
Mm-hmm.
Larissa Pruitt now the batter, runner on second, one out. Pruitt's 0 for 2. First pitch to her, fouled away for strike one. And last time out on this date, Bama beat Southeastern Louisiana in 9 innings, 6-3, to advance to last year's regional championship. Extra inning, a home run by Riley Valentine.
Yeah, and remember what was amazing about that game, that 3-run homer by Riley made it 4-1 at the time.
Yeah.
Alabama added 2 runs after that, and then Southeastern scored 2 in the home half because they were the home team since they were the 3 seed in the regional. So
yeah.
That was... I mean, we all knew. Remember, I will never forget last year in regionals in postgame, even after Alabama had won 12-2, we were like, God bless anybody who has Southeastern in a regional again. And LSU, unfortunately for them, learned what we found out last year.
So after a quick offensive timeout, Pruitt Sepsak in with an 0-1 count. The 0-1 pitch is in the dirt. Oh, nice stop behind the plate by Yeager, keeping Hubbard at second.
This is an incredible pick by Zoe Yeager. I mean, this was scooting away. She had to stretch every inch she had just to keep it from getting to the backstop and keeping Hubbard at second base.
The 1-1. Pruitt fouls it straight back. One ball, two strikes.
A&M has grabbed the lead in the eighth, 13-11. But if you think that's safe... You have not paid attention.
And Lemley asked for time to dry off her hand. She may be dealing with some perspiration issues.
It's humid out here.
Quite humid. Not as hot as it could be, but the humidity is definitely ratcheted up after the storms came through. The 1-2, outside, 2 balls and 2 strikes. Again, earlier today, we were scheduled for a 1:05 first pitch, and just before the first pitch was thrown, lightning was in the area, and 3.5 hours later, we were playing softball. Two-two, Pruitt swings and misses at strike three. And back-to-back strikeouts after the double for Limley. We'll go back to the top of the order and Audrey Vandegrift.
Yeah, nasty little drop ball moving away from Limley. And that's the second most common pitch beyond the rise to lefties. And she used it quite well.
Vandegrift 1-for-2 with a triple and an RBI walk. First pitch to her is outside for ball one.
She is not going to see anything in her half.
First base is open. You have Lauren Johnson in the on-deck circle, who is 2-for-3 on the day with a couple of ribbies. 1-0. Further outside, 2-0.
Keep that bat on the shoulder, kid. Yeah. I think Audrey Vandegrift right now, you are probably red light until a strike is thrown. Probably. Been wrong before.
2-0 pitch. Outside again, 3-0.
I mean, it's a good spot. It's just not a strike. And so if you're taking.
Keep on a taking.
Yeah.
the 3-0. Outside, and a four-pitch walk. Second straight four-pitch walk to Vandegrift. Bama now has runners on first and second with two outs here in the seventh.
I mean, essentially an intentional walk to Vandegrift. I think especially once it got to 2-0, it was like, okay, you know, let's test the sophomore.
Yeah. As I mentioned, two singles, a couple of RBIs for Lauren Johnson on the day. She'll step in here, trying to add to the 3-0 lead. First pitch is a fly ball to right, but McMillan will range back to make the catch for out number three to retire the side here in the seventh for the Crimson Tide. No runs on a hit, no errors, and one left. We head to the bottom of the seventh inning and the last chance for Virginia Tech. Alabama with a 3-0 lead over the Hokies here on the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield. We head to the bottom of the seventh inning and the last chance for Virginia Tech. Alabama with a 3-0 lead over the Hokies. Bottom of the order due up for Virginia Tech. Martin, Rose, and Castine against Caitlin Riley in the circle for the Crimson Tide. And Gray, one of the biggest plays, or the biggest byproducts of the line drive double play to end last inning means that you don't have to face McMillan in this inning if you sit down Virginia Tech 1-2-3.
Yeah, I mean, that was instantly my thought as we were getting ready for this frame. You know, you take care of business against the bottom of the order, you're fully in business. And again, even if you don't take care of business, the most important thing in the world is to make sure that tying run never approaches the plate. Keep them on deck. Even if McMillan's up, make sure it's with one on and two outs.
Trini Martin will lead things off. She's 2-for-2 on the day with a couple of singles.
Both of those were with two outs, so we'll see how she does leading off an inning.
Caitlin Riley will throw her 76th pitch to start off the seventh inning. No runs on six hits with a walk and three strikeouts so far for the senior. First pitch. High for ball one. And no pitch, low and away. Two balls and no strikes.
I do see Jocelyn Brisky coming back from the bullpen. I kind of think he just let Caitlin go.
Yeah. 2-0 pitch. It's been a little bit low, 3-0.
Definitely wasn't too far inside compared to some of the pitches we've seen.
The 3-0. Martin takes a called strike, 3-1.
Ooh, boy. Little out, but you'll take the call.
Yep. The 3-1. One hopper to first. Stopped by Dukcher. Still step on the bag for the first out of the inning.
Abby Dukcher has been an under-the-radar MVP today in a lot of ways. I still think her walk in the fifth inning might have been the biggest play of that inning in terms of setting up the runs to score. But also, she's played a really good first base.
And we'll see a pinch hitter here for Virginia Tech, and it's Michelle Chatfield getting the pinch hit spot here.
Oh, you know, just a 382 hitter with 51 homers and 15, I'm sorry, 51 RBIs and
sure.
15 homers.
Yeah.
Corey McMillan would not lead the nation if Chatfield had 51 homers.
First pitch to her is high for ball one. Chatfield, usually the first baseman for Virginia Tech, has a wrist injury day to day and has not been able to play the field, and this is her second pinch hitting appearance of the weekend in regional play for her.
And she's got that wrist brace on the left arm.
That pitch is a little low and inside, 2-0.
All time against Alabama, Chatfield is 1-for-12. That one was a home run. 0-for-9 in her career in regionals to draw a walk yesterday against Belmont as a pinch hitter, like you said.
2-0. It was low, 3-0. So both the batters here in the seventh inning. Riley has fallen down 3-0. Battle back to get the first out, but now Giles goes out to talk with her. Make sure they're on the same page.
Well, and I think not even that, just settle the nerves. Yeah. Calm her down. You know, we got to bring back the mindset from early. Like, it's not all on you.
Yep.
Defense has your back. Make them put it in play.
The 3-0. Called strike, 3-1. The 3-1. Back to Riley, that hit her on the leg. And she is down. They're going to try to make a flip, but it's not going to be in time. And
oh, boy.
Riley going to try to walk that one off as AC Atinka and Lance Mann going to go out and have a look.
Oh, that was a shot. Barreled up drop ball by Chatfield.
It got Riley right on the left leg.
And you know it's a hard hit when it ricochets as far as it did. That almost went into the Virginia Tech dugout. You can see Caitlin Riley trying to center herself.
Obviously very painful.
Yeah, that hurts. It's a big moment. I mean, think about all the emotion she's feeling right now anyway.
Yeah. And she's going to get a couple of warm-up pitches to make sure she's okay. Looking at the replay, they got her on the left shin. Like, that's going to be quite the bruise.
See how these warm-up pitches look. Oh, yeah. This is a tough kid, man. This is a tough, tough player.
Yep.
And this is the must-out again. McMillan's on deck. You don't have the clean inning. If it doesn't hit Riley, it's still a base hit.
Yep.
This is a must-out right here.
And Annika Rose does re-enter the ball game. She is now on first after the pinch hit, base hit by Michelle Chatfield. And Rachel Castine will be the batter. She's 0-for-2 with a ground out and a fly out.
Would love to see a really aggressive start to this AB from Caitlin after a couple 3-0s to start this inning.
First pitch. Right in there on the outside corner for a called strike.
That'll work.
The 0-1. Same pitch, same result, 0-2.
Beautiful.
The 0-2 pitch. As seen with a fly ball deep left field, that's back and gone. Two-run homer by the nine-hole hitter, Rachel Castine, pulling the Hokies within one. It's now 3-2 here in the seventh.
Far too sweet for an 0-2 pitch, Tom. Far too sweet. 0-2s have got to be out of his zone. Castine has struggled all regional, and you threw her one right on a tee. The senior for Virginia Tech with her seventh home run of the year. And you just made life a lot more complicated for yourself here in the bottom of the seventh. And that'll draw a pitching change.
With this call to the bullpen, we remind you that Alabama softball is brought to you by Barclay GMC, the best place to buy a vehicle in Tuscaloosa, and proud sponsors of the Crimson Tide. Visit BarclayGMC.com today. Barclay makes it easy. We'll tell you about the new Alabama pitcher right after this. It's 3-2 Alabama, one out in the bottom of the seventh here on the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield. Three-two Alabama. There's one out here in the bottom of the seventh. The Hokies have just pulled within one on a two-run homer by Rachel Castine, and Caitlin Riley will turn things over to the sophomore, Jocelyn Brisky.
Yeah, welcome, Brisky. You're two outs away from supers, but the task is difficult. 2.79 ERA, 17-12 record, 42nd appearance, 160 and a third innings, 149 hits, 84 runs, 64 earned, 77 walks, 115 Ks. You need two. But you are facing the people you don't want to face when they only need one.
Corey McMillan is the batter, 0-for-3 on the day. First pitch, called strike. Brisky got the complete game victory yesterday against the Hokies. Went 7 innings, 7 hits, 3 runs, all earned, 5 walks, and 5 strikeouts. Threw 114 pitches in that one as Alabama now will employ the shift on the right side of the infield. The 0-1 is low, 1-1.
That has worked all day today.
The 1-1. McMillan tried to check her swing, didn't matter. It's a called strike, 1-2.
Real quick, I know you're about to read her line in a moment. Outstanding outing by Caitlin Riley. Absolutely outstanding.
100%. Brisky looks in. 1-2 to McMillan. Ooh, fouled off the rise. We'll do it again, 1-2. Riley goes 6 1/3, 8 hits, 2 runs, both earned, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts, 88 pitches and 54 strikes thrown by the senior here in the biggest game she's pitched.
Really only one bad pitch all day.
Yep.
Unfortunately, it was in this inning.
Another 1-2 to McMillan. Swing and a miss, strike three. Brisky gets the strikeout. McMillan goes 0-for-4 on the day with 2 Ks, and Virginia Tech's down to their final out.
That shift, it tells you where the pitch is coming. I mean, it's going to be in most of the time. Another drop ball in. Look at the fire from Jocelyn Brisky. She's heard the noise, but she knows she's this close to getting the tie to Supers.
Jordan Lynch is the last chance for the Hokies. Here comes the first pitch. Called strike. Lynch is 1-for-3, singled back in the third inning. The 0-1. Held off on the rise. 1-1.
She was tied up, Tom. Real quick scoreboard update. Just knock it out. A&M 1, 14-11. There you go.
They'll play again.
We'll watch it.
1-1 pitch. Bounces in. 2-1.
Classic Bama Virginia Tech.
Yeah. 2-1. Lynch pops it up. Foul ground. Sticking with it and making the catch is Marley Giles for out number 3. It stayed in play, and Alabama wins by a final score of 3-2 for the third straight year and the 19th time in program history Bama's going to Super Regionals.
It's the hardest play. Every catcher will tell you that one is a nightmare. And to think, I got to make this catch to win the ball game and go to a Super Regional. It's not easy, but nothing ever is in the postseason. And this team once again defies all the doubt. We see it every year, man. Keep betting against the Tide. Look what's going to happen. And it was an incredible ball game. A lot of credit to Virginia Tech, what fight they showed in the seventh inning. But Alabama cannot be discounted in the postseason because they will find a way to dig deeper than you ever thought they could. And we saw that today from a lot of people. Lauren Johnson, Abby Dukeshire, Caitlin Riley, and Jocelyn Brisky. And there are more names I could mention. This was not easy, but it's not supposed to be. You have to earn it. Alabama earned it. We get to do this for another weekend.
Virginia Tech in the seventh inning. 2 runs on 2 hits. No errors and nobody left. Alabama wins the Tuscaloosa Regional going 3-0. And they are overall now 40-21 on the year. Virginia Tech will finish off the year at 43-13. 3 runs on 6 hits, no errors, and 5 left for the Tide. 2 runs on 8 hits, no errors, 6 left for the Hokies. Caitlin Riley is the winning pitcher. She's now 11-3 on the year. Jocelyn Brisky gets her 4th save to send the Crimson Tide to Super Regionals, and Emma Limley will take the complete game loss. She's now 18-8. Alabama advances to Super Regional play. They will head to Norman, Oklahoma to take on the Oklahoma Sooners in Super Regionals next weekend. We'll see you when we get there. Virginia Tech sees their really good season come to an end here with quite a battle all weekend long. That Alabama wins 2 1-run games against the Hokies. As per usual, Alabama comes away with another gritty-gutty win here in the championship to head on to Super Regionals.
I mean, it really is incredible just how much, like, we should have expected Virginia Tech to hit a 2-run homer in the seventh. These games are decided by one run. It's amazing how competitive this series is. I want to make sure, because we're going to talk a lot about the Crimson Tide for the next 10 minutes, 15 minutes or so, but I want to shout out the seniors for Virginia Tech as well, whose college careers just wrapped up. Emma Limley, Corey McMillan, shoot, man, I mean, what a player. Bree Peck, Rachel Castine, what a final lap out of her college career. Good gracious. And that's it. So look out for the Hokies next year. But those seniors played well. Alabama, though, just made the plays they had to make at the very, very end to stay alive, just like it feels like they always do at this part of the year, Tom.
We'll take a timeout, come back with the Alabama softball postgame report right after this here on the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield. Alabama wins by a final score of 3-2. It got sticky in the seventh.
Did it get a little sticky?
It did a little bit, but again,
I don't know, Tom.
Not shocking at all, as Virginia Tech and Alabama always comes down to the final pitch. And what a performance by Caitlin Riley in the circle. Jocelyn Brissy comes in, gets two big outs and the save. And Alabama wins by a final score of 3-2. They win their 21st ever regional, 19th time Alabama's going to Super Regionals, trying to go to the Women's College World Series for the 16th time in program history. It's going to be an uphill battle going to Oklahoma. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But before we get to that, we got to talk about this weekend and this game in particular. What a performance by the Crimson Tide.
Well, and again, like, it's these three games are so much the personification of it doesn't matter how, just that. Alabama goes 3-0. On three games where they were not really clicking on all cylinders. Offense was fine. Defense was really good. Pitching was really, really good. But it wasn't like Alabama played their best game. They just found ways to execute. And that is what the programs with the intangible are able to do in the postseason. That's why whenever we talk about this sport, the same names come up. Because there are things baked into your DNA. And right. One of those things are making the plays, doing what must be done to advance and survive. And again, we'll preview, you know, next week a little bit later, because that's two programs who know how to do that.
Sure.
But I'm just so proud of the grittiness from a lot of different players, many of whom were kind of doing this for the first time.
Yeah.
That's what's insane. I mean, you look at the heroes today, Caitlin Riley trying to pitch her team to the first Super Regional of her career. Lauren Johnson did not have an at-bat in regionals last season. Audrey Vandergriff is a freshman. It was kind of those three who really, in the end, made the scoring more than the other team game-winning plays.
Yeah. What a performance by the entire Crimson Tide team here today as we go through the Alabama softball postgame report, brought to you by the Alabama Crimson Tide mobile app. Keep up with everything Alabama with the Alabama Crimson Tide mobile app, presented by Cadence Bank. Download now for free at the App Store and Google Play. The game started with a triple by Audrey Vandergriff, and then Emma Limley decided, well, no one else is going to get a hit for a while, and sat down, which ended up being 9 straight until Alabama got another hit in the fourth. So it was up to Caitlin Riley to go pitch for pitch against one of, if not the best pitcher in the country in Emma Limley. And she did it.
She did. I mean, pretty much all the damage Virginia Tech had in the first 6 innings was with 2 outs. So they weren't able to string together all that much. Free passes. Boy, I love that one walk. That's it. Yep. One walk. No errors. So no real free bases given up at all to Virginia Tech. Your defense had your back. But Caitlin Riley had to deliver the pitches. And what I loved as well was the implementation of the shift. Mm-hmm. You didn't see that yesterday. It was something new that Corey McMillan had to think about. And full disclosure, I have not seen every single Virginia Tech game this year. I'm not sure if other teams have tried that. Whether they have or not, Alabama decided to today, and it worked to get her to go 0-for-4.
Yeah.
I mean, that's such good stuff. 3 of those outs recorded by Caitlin Riley, 1 by Brisky. That's just really, really impressive, because she's you know, at worst, like the number two hitter in the entire country. And she really did nothing today.
It's really the first time, and I'm like you, I've not seen every Virginia Tech game that has been played, but any time that she's been taken out of ball games, it's because people have pitched around her.
Mm-hmm.
She's had walks, or she's had other, she's made impacts. A true straight up 0-for-4 game for McMillan does not happen.
No.
But it did today.
That's very, very hard to do. And especially considering, I mean, again, you worked it to where she led off a lot today.
Yeah.
But, I mean, how incredible is it that Virginia Tech had, what is that, 7, 8, 9 in the order, go 5-for-9? That's 5 of your 8 hits, 5-for-9.
Yeah.
And Corey McMillan had no RBIs today. Because either the timing was wrong or she wasn't able to make the play when somebody was on base. That's big-time stuff. That's very, very impressive stuff when you look at that stat line and kind of see how the story of this game played out.
Alabama wins and will advance to Super Regionals. And, Gray, you know, there have been, of course, 2020, there was not an NCAA tournament. This year will be the 20th year that there has been a Super Regional round in the NCAA tournament. For college softball, Alabama will now have participated in 19 of those 20. I mean, it just, when you talk about the consistent excellence of this program, it's really something to be admired and to be talked about.
I don't understand how people sometimes don't acknowledge how great that is. Like, Oklahoma is the standard in the sport. They haven't even done that.
Right.
Like, it is so...
UCLA, Arizona, none of those teams
have. It is so hard to win in this sport. It is so hard to be consistent in this sport, especially in the modern era with the portal, with better athletes.
It's harder now than it's ever been.
Film. I mean, I could list a million reasons why coaching and playing softball is more difficult right now than it has ever been.
Yeah.
And Alabama just keeps doing it. And I... Like, don't sniff at that. Do not take it for granted, because it is not easy. It is very hard. And this team, this program, it is built into the DNA to come through in the big moments. And it doesn't even have to be the normal people. Like, today was Callie Hevlin's last game at Rhodes, and it was not a particularly great one.
Yeah.
She was 0-for-3 with a strikeout.
Right.
But, okay, everybody else stepped up. Like, that is championship culture. That is a winning culture. When maybe it's not your star, somebody else is going to do the job.
Right.
And when you've got that foundation laid down, what's stopping you?
Like we talked about today, how many times have I said, especially here in the last month, Saylan Hawkins got things started for Alabama offensively, in addition to what she's done defensively.
The Brooke Elstad bunt, like her, you know, she was doing that great for 3 months, and then kind of the last 3 weeks, every time she tried it, couldn't get it down, or maybe popped it up.
Right,
or
to somebody.
It wasn't working. Today, she got that bunt down, and that was what helped. Abby Dukeshire, you know, sometimes she, on 3-2s, gets a little over her skis and tries to chase something out of the zone.
Yeah.
Took an incredible walk, one of the best at-bats of the day.
Marley Giles has an 0-for-3 day at the plate, but makes a tremendously difficult catch to end this ball game. We talked about it. That making that back straight up, barely saying in play catch for a catcher is one of, if not the hardest play defensively in all of softball.
I'll spin it back. Alabama won this game by a singular run. Let's go to the bottom of the third inning when runners on second and third, and I think it was the first or maybe the third pitch to Kylie Aldridge, that is getting away, and Marley sacrificed her body to block it.
Right.
We said at the time that saved a run. That turned out to be a pretty darn big run that was saved by Marley Giles. She was excellent. That's how you win in the postseason. It's not, you know, what you're about to read. It's not just that.
Right.
It's all the little things. And Alabama has gotten better at the little things each and every day this year to get to now where they're one of the last 16 teams left playing college softball.
The margins are so, you know, razor thin in this game, especially when these two teams play, and Alabama comes away getting 2 wins over Virginia Tech on the weekend and advancing to Super Regionals. Here are the final stats from today's ball game. We'll start with the Crimson Tide. They are now 40-21 as they win the Tuscaloosa Regional and will head to Super Regional play next weekend. They got 3 runs all in the 5th inning. 3 runs on 6 hits, no errors, and 5 left. Audrey Vandergriff was 1-for-2 with 2 walks and an RBI. Lauren Johnson 2-for-4 with 2 RBIs. Callie Hevland was 0-for-3. Marley Giles 0-for-3. Saylan Hawkins 1-for-3 with a run scored. Brooke Ellistad 1-for-3 with a run scored. Mighty Hubbard was 1-for-3. Abby Dukeshire was 0-for-2 with that big walk, leading to Kinley Pate as her pinch runner scoring a run. And Larissa Pruitt was 0-for-3. In the circle, Caitlin Riley gets the victory. She's now 11-3 on the year. She went 6 1/3, gave up 8 hits, 2 runs, both earned, 1 walk, and 3 strikeouts as she threw 88 pitches and 54 strikes. Jocelyn Brisky came in, got the final 2/3. No hits, no runs, no walks, and a strikeout, 9 pitches and 6 strikes to pick up her 4th save of the year. For Virginia Tech, they finish up the year at 43-13. 2 runs in the 7th inning, 2 runs on 8 hits, no errors, and 6 runners left on. Corey McMillan was 0-for-4. Mm. Jordan Lynch was 1-for-4. Zoe Yeager was 1-for-3. Kylie Aldridge was 1-for-3. Bree Peck was 0-for-2 with a walk. Emily Leggette was 0-for-3. Trinity Martin was 2-for-3. Annika Rose was 1-for-2 with a run scored. Michelle Chatfield was 1-for-1. And Rachel Castine, 1-for-3 with 2 RBIs and a run scored, had the 2-run homer in the 7th inning. Emma Limley, a complete game loss. She's now 18-8 on the year, finishing up her senior year. 7 innings, 6 hits, 3 runs, all earned, 3 walks, and 7 strikeouts, 117 pitches, and 74 strikes thrown by Limley. After a 3.5-hour delay, the time of the game, 2 hours and 3 minutes, as the Crimson Tide gets the 3-2 win over Virginia Tech. And now we'll head to Norman, Oklahoma, to take on the Oklahoma Sooners in Super Regional play. Just got to win 2 and head to the World Series.
Is that it?
That's all you got to do.
Okay. I want to talk about that. I do. But, again, I want to send a major shout-out to the Virginia Tech seniors. I know that they don't have radio here. I directed a lot of them to listen. If you're still listening, thank you for joining us this weekend when Alabama played the Hokies. Emma Limley and Corey McMillan, man. I mean, what legacies they've left to help Pete DeMore continue to sustain the success of that program. So much of what coaches are able to do are based on the stars that you have. Pete DeMore got a great one to start with Keely Rochard, but you only keep winning if you're able to follow that up with an arm like Emma Limley, and they're both going to be excellent at the pro level. Can't wait to see them probably back at Rhodes pretty soon in the AUSL.
I remember the AUSL, the final week of the regular season and the playoffs, will be right here at Rhodes Stadium in July.
That's right. And they're going to be like, oh, no, memories. Yes. But seriously, congrats to those two on excellent careers. They deserve all the success that are going to come their way, or that will come their way in the pro level. And from the Alabama standpoint, I just can't get over how so much of the production, the winning pitcher and all 3 RBIs were driven in by people who have not been in this position before. So how do you get ready for that? You're built up by a program that just kind of naturally instills that in you.
Yep.
That's the testament to Patrick Murphy, Caleb Rowe, Ryan I. Murray. How about Lance McMahon's pitch calling this weekend as well? I know it's not been a perfect year in the circle, but in some of the biggest games this season, Lance has delivered his best game plans.
Yeah.
And the execution was on par. I'm pretty darn proud of this team, because this was now a 3rd straight year where the majority of the pundits did not pick Alabama to win their own regional.
Correct.
And for the 3rd straight year, and the 2nd true straight year, sweeping it, Alabama has come out victorious yet again, going to Supers, and now trying to make it 3 straight years, going to the World Series when the world has doubted them.
Sure. And, I mean, you've heard the people say, well, you know, you never faced the 2 seed in that regional when you've come out that the team that was picked, that they fell short, because you had Central Arkansas 2 years ago, you had Clemson last year, that Alabama never had to face to get out of their own regional. This year it went chalk. It went where you had to face the best team all the way through and beat them twice, and Alabama did that here this weekend. And maybe someday people will stop doubting the Tide in regional play, but it wasn't this year. But it was a big win for the Tide here today. So now we will talk about what's coming up next weekend in Norman, the Super Regional against Oklahoma, the number 2 national seed. They had no problem whatsoever with their Norman Regional, and they'll host the Crimson Tide. First time Alabama will have ever played in Norman. They usually, when they go to Oklahoma, they play 30 minutes down the road in Oklahoma City. But this year it will be 2 out of 3 at Love's. Alabama got the series victory over the Sooners earlier this season. It was just one of the best atmospheres I've ever seen here at the Rhodes House, especially for a regular season series. But you're going to face something very similar on the other side when you go to Oklahoma for a chance to go to the World Series.
OU's going to bring it. And, and I can't wait to get to Love's and get to call games there. I've heard everything about that press box. Very excited. Can't wait to see it. Hope the internet works.
That's all we ask, really. No, we do anything else.
A very simple man.
Sure.
So I'm going to ask the question. Why not us?
Sure.
Why not? I mean, I understand. Trust me, nobody gets it more than me. I am surrounded by Sooners in my life. I hear it on every show that I do. Mm-hmm. I do a show with an Oklahoma alum. I understand the path that is ahead for Alabama to get back to the World Series. All the chaos going on in regionals didn't really help out Alabama. You got to go and you got to beat them at their place. They're going to be mad. They're going to come out with their hair on fire because you beat them last time.
But
why not Alabama? I mean, at this point, how dumb do you have to be to just straight up not believe in them, to think they have no shot? That's not how this program works. That's not what happens. So I don't know what's going to go down in Norman. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But I sure as heck can't wait to find out, because I can tell you one thing for sure. Alabama's not going down without a fight.
Oh, yeah.
At all. And they will give every ounce that they have to win that Super Regional. It's going to be a war. Mm-hmm. A war. BMO, Smitty, Doza, if y'all aren't there, y'all messed up.
What are we doing?
I mean, it's going to be a great opportunity. And I think, based on actually a different way of winning than I envisioned this weekend for me to say this, I think Alabama's ready for the fight.
Yeah.
I really do. And we'll break it down schematically, statistically on the Out of the Box podcast this week, because there's a lot to dive into. Mm-hmm. But I think Alabama's ready for the fight.
I think they certainly showed it. It was a dogfight to get out of Tuscaloosa against Virginia Tech. So we'll see what happens when Alabama takes on Oklahoma next weekend. I will say, last year, Alabama, in Super Regional play, went on the road against the number 3 national seed. It's a 2 seed this year. It was a 3 last year. The regular season SEC champion, which Oklahoma was. And won the series in Knoxville against Tennessee.
Yeah.
So the precedent is certainly there.
Yeah.
And Alabama has had, not that anyone has had just enormous amount of success against Oklahoma, especially in the last decade, but Alabama's probably had as much as anybody.
And what a stage it's going to be, man.
Oh, man.
I mean, that moment, those 2 to 3 games, whatever it is, I mean, you cannot ask for a better showcase for your program, for yourself if you're a player. I mean, this is the moment, and you've got couple days to get ready for it. We're not sure if we're leaving Wednesday or Thursday, whatever, but
yep, we'll get there.
I'm excited to see this team get the opportunity and try and yet again prove to the world why you do not doubt Bama U. Why not Alabama? Why not the Tide? Why not Team 29?
Yes.
If you're coming up with reasons, you haven't been paying attention.
And speaking of great showcases, this place right here, the Rhodes House, has been a great showcase here this weekend, all season long, once again, as watch Bats and the crew get the field prepped after the game here today. What a great job by them with the weather. All the weather has come through here this weekend. Not going to find a better spot in all of college softball to host big games, but the only one that might compare is the place that Alabama's going here next weekend, going to Love's Field, the brand new spot for the Oklahoma Sooners.
Yeah, and a lot of credit to the people who stayed today. You know, how many times over the years have we seen it? Oh, a rain delay.
Watch it on out.
And no, people stayed, and I love that. I love that they backed it up.
Great atmosphere.
Emily Petek was awesome. The alums were awesome. The fans were awesome. This was wonderful. This place is very, very special.
Really shows you what positive reinforcement can do for a team.
Yeah, and there's no better place, except maybe OKC, but I'll worry about that next week.
There you go. All right, we're about to ready to wrap it up and get ready to go to Oklahoma as the Crimson Tide gets a 3-2 win over Virginia Tech to win this Tuscaloosa Regional and head to Super Regionals for the 19th time in program history. So, Gray, anything you want to say before we wrap it up and get ready to head back to the Sooner State.
I'm just really, really proud of this team. I'm proud of a lot of players, a lot of individuals, a lot of coaches, a lot of staff who ran a very good regional. You mentioned Bats and Jacob. They did a great job today under pretty tough circumstances with the weather being as inconvenient and topsy-turvy as it was. And now I'm ready to see the fight. I'm ready. I'm ready, man. I think this team is ready, too. And I can't wait to see them get a chance to relish the opportunity to go to battle. This upcoming weekend, Super Regionals in Norman against the Big Bad Sooners, it's going to be probably, for a lot of these players, the hardest thing they've ever had to do on a softball field.
Yeah.
This will be these will be the two toughest wins Alabama will have to have probably gotten since, I could argue, 2012. You consider the precedent, where you're playing, who you're playing, what streak you're trying to break. But why not Alabama?
Yeah.
There's nothing else to say. Why not Alabama? Let's go.
Got to play him eventually. Why not just knock it out in Super Regional
play? Just get it out of the way.
Yeah. That's going to do it for this broadcast. The Bama Softball Postgame Report. The Vice President and General Manager of the Crimson Tide Sports Network is Jim Carabin. And our studio engineer has been Brian Freeman. For Gray Robertson and everyone here at the Crimson Tide Sports Network, I'm Tom Canterbury saying thank you for joining us as Alabama gets a 3-2 win over Virginia Tech to win this Tuscaloosa Regional. Tune in again next weekend when Alabama opens up play in the Super Regional round, taking on the Oklahoma Sooners in Norman. Stay tuned to Alabama's social media accounts for official game times, dates, and everything such as. And we'll be back on the air 15 minutes before first pitch. Until then, Roll Tide from Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back. You just heard the regional final. Fifth, sixth, seventh inning. Now, I was pondering when I put this together, like, should I just do the fifth and the seventh? But I included a Dukeshire double play because that was massive.
Sure.
The fifth inning, what a wild journey that was. Just all of a sudden, Emma Limley, like, can't find the strike zone against Vandegrift. And then Lojo on an 0-2 gets a little assist from the slippage and left, drives in two more. That proves gigantic when we get to the seventh. When Rachel Castine hit that homer and in comes Brisky and it's like, uh-oh, there's Corey McMillan and Brisky struggled in relief. And this is all leading to something not good.
This was where the tension reached the breaking point.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, like everything, like Alabama had all the momentum. You know, you got the 3-0 lead. All you got to do is finish it off here in the bottom seventh. Caitlin Riley had been great. You know, the fact that, you know, Alabama had put themselves in positions to score earlier and didn't do it.
Right.
And that did not faze Caitlin Riley, who, by the way, as we found out after the season, was pitching with a broken arm.
Yeah.
Is shutting out one of the best offenses in the country in Virginia Tech. And then the 2-run homer.
Yeah. She got hit in the shin.
Right.
Comebacker.
Yeah.
And then the 2-run homer. But Brisky came in and did her thing.
The strikeout of Corey McMillan is just one of the most impressive single at-bats I have seen, not just Jocelyn Brisky, like an Alabama pitcher have in my tenure at Alabama.
In that moment against that hitter.
In that situation, coming in cold out of the pen. She was warmed up, but as far as the game goes, the first batter here, this person who's going to be like the number one pick in the AUSL, you need to strike her out.
Yeah.
And to do what she did, my gosh. So just, I mean, what a performance by Brisky coming in that situation. And again, Caitlin Riley pitched great for that entire game.
Yeah. I was a very, very deserving inclusion on this list. Thought we might see the other regional game get in. It did not have the support. Probably because this game was so good.
Right.
But really just a great 1-2. And another classic entry in the canon that is Alabama versus Virginia Tech softball. Like, it's going to be a one-run game. It's going to be tight. There will be some clutch hitting. There will be good defense.
Yeah.
Just good stuff. But not at the top of the list.
Why is that, Gray?
Well,
what could possibly be number one?
I don't know. Fade to black. Y'all find out next week. But, I mean, come
right,
on.
Right.
Come on.
I mean, it's maybe the only more obvious one was Montana Fouts' perfect game in the World Series. think it's UCLA.
But even that, I don't think swept. I don't know. We'll hold the conversation.
Okay.
Yeah. We still have one more episode.
Sure. Before we wrap it up, I need to ask you though, do you have a website?
I do. Thank you so much. I know it's been on your mind for now 4 weeks.
Yes, I was wondering.
Yes, grayrobertsonsports.com.
Do you have comments about your alma mater now recognizing 7 additional national championships?
Look, I do feel, so again, the nuance of the situation, I do feel like it is a little disingenuous for Alabama people to firmly chastise some of the championships that Auburn is like, that's us from like 1905. Like, look, okay. The 2004 one is legitimately insane. Like, we had a national championship right. game and they weren't in it.
They were not involved.
That was 2 decades ago. Like, right. Hold on. Like,
it's also the system we were using at the time.
Right. Like, this yeah. isn't the 70s. I don't know. That,
right. Well, the,
that blew my mind. I was like, we had everyone voted on it. Like,
right.
I personally, I know this is probably a hot take, and maybe we can do an off topic about it one day. I kind of think most years the BCS got it right.
Absolutely.
And USC won the 2004 national championship over Oklahoma 55-19. It wasn't close. I know Reggie Bush got in trouble.
Right.
But that doesn't mean USC lost the game or didn't play in it. I don't know. And Auburn barely beat Virginia Tech in the Sugar Bowl that year.
The quote of, "For too long, Auburn has chosen a humble approach to our program's storied history," is one of the most wild sentences I've ever seen.
Man.
And then...
And I'm saying all this as an Auburn guy.
Sure, of course.
Reportedly.
Right.
According to what one I was person told. On TikTok.
If... And okay, so you're going to claim both 2004 and 1993. Mm-hmm. So 2004, you want to claim because USC was cheating. But 1993, when you were on probation for cheating, you want to say, well, that's also us. In a year you didn't play in any postseason.
Yeah.
Because of cheating.
Fair criticisms. I think the more recent the claims, yeah. the more the sports world is allowed to like
yeah.
poke holes. Again,
I'm gonna claim 1941 even harder now.
I honestly, the 1910s, I don't sure. get it. Like sure.
do you?
Like 8 teams won the national. You know why? Because everyone played 5 games.
Right.
Then half of them were against whatever local polytechnic institute of the right. blind was in the vicinity.
Birmingham High School or whatever it is.
I mean, you know, we're all just guessing for it's 1907.
Like, yeah. You know what? I have absolutely no problem with them going back and saying, you know what? We won the SIAA these 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
We're going to add that to our conference championship.
Honestly, why sure. weren't they doing that?
Yeah. Like I think Alabama, there's a couple Alabama needs to add. Sure.
Yeah.
That yes. Because there's an actual system that said you were the champion. But now we're just saying, okay, Golf Digest in 2004 said, yes, you're the champion.
Digest. What a pointed example. You know what's really funny about this, Tom?
Right.
That
you're an Auburn guy and you're having to...
Well, I was just going to say, football season is like well underway as this is being released.
That is true.
But this story... happened about a month ago.
And it just keeps going.
It just keeps giving.
Giving.
Slay mother. Slay comma mother.
Right. We might open up the Twitter one day soon and Alabama's gonna have like 24 national championships. Because there's a few out there we don't claim that we could.
Yeah.
1945, I'm looking at you. But understandably, at the end of World War II, we're not going to say, no, Army, you didn't win. We're going to take our national championship.
Give it back.
Right. Thanks for taking out the Nazis.
Oh, man. That's just, sure. whatever. Let's just all take them. Let's just good. All. Everyone gets a natty. If you qualified for a right. bowl game,
yes.
you too can file a claim to get a national championship.
Taking the UCF approach.
Dial this 1-800 number, and you too can get a national championship from sometime when your grandparents were born.
Shout out Matador Club.
Anyway, that's number two on the Moments of the Year podcast series. Man, number one's gonna be a banger. I hope you're ready.
I'm very, very excited.
Yeah, Tom's ready to record it. So for Tom Canterbury, I'm Greer Robertson. Thanks for joining us. Number one is next week. Top five moments of the year here on the Out of the Box podcast.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started today for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.